You are listening to This is Stockton, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to This is Stockton. I'm your host, Wes Ray.
And I'm your host, Amy Alpers. Before we kick things off today, we want to say thank you to everyone who has been subscribing and liking and reviewing and sharing our podcast. We see you. We appreciate it. And for all of you who are not, why not? You know, what do you have to lose? Please like, subscribe, share, review our podcast so we can get the word out about all the fun stuff happening in town and all the cool people and happenings, etc. So
yeah,
and don't forget about us.
If there's somebody you want us to interview, we always like that kind of stuff too. You know, if you know a great guest for our podcast, let us know. Like today, I am excited. Do you know why I'm excited about today's
podcast?
Why
are you excited, Wes?
Because I feel like, you know, a lot of times I have a lot of knowledge. I've been around a while about Stockton, and we interview
such
a
humble man.
I know. Yeah. we interview a lot of guests that we already know a lot about the organization, or they're, you know, people that we know personally. And while we have known Tama Brisbane, our former poet laureate, for a long time, and she's done a lot of work with Visit Stockton over the years, she actually did a poetry reading at our tourism breakfast last year. So she's always been a great partner. I do have to say, I do have, well, number one, a lot of naivete about what a poet laureate does. And also, I have never met Jazz Marie before until today. So I looked at all the other stuff she does. I'm like, I feel like I'm going to learn a lot today. So I'm excited.
We're making a new friend today, Wes.
We are.
A new friend to the office and the podcast.
So we tend to utilize our friends a lot.
I know. Poor Jazz Marie. You don't know. But once you're on the podcast, you might be reached out to for many other things. So without further ado, joining us today is Jazz Marie Latour, a poetry lover, co-founder of Energy, and the newly designated poet laureate for the city of Stockton. Before we jump into the main portion of the interview, Jazz Marie, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your Stockton story, please?
Yeah, well, thank you all so much for inviting me to
You're
be on
so
this
welcome.
Podcast. I am a Stockton native. Ooh. I've been here all 30 years of my life.
Awesome.
I've lived in all four corners of Stockton as well.
That's awesome.
Throughout the years. And I graduated from Bear Creek High School after spending a couple of years at Chavez, after spending all of middle school at Hamilton. And if you can catch the pattern, these are all in different
areas. Yeah, right.
In elementary school, I went to Valenzuela, which is a Spanish immersion school.
Oh, sweet.
And so, and in my time in Stockton, I've been doing poetry for a long time. And so I've performed in a lot of places, the Fox Theater, Delta, UOP, and then various man-made stages of the 2010s. But yeah, I've been here my whole life. Went to
Excellent.
UOP. Yep.
Oh, very
cool. Tigers, hell yeah.
So the best way to start off this conversation, since we've said the word poet laureate, mm-hmm. how would you tell someone who has no idea what the heck that means, what do you do as poet laureate for the city of Stockton? What does that mean?
Well, Wes, I have been trying to figure this out because
oh, great,
right, and so to answer your question, you're going to get a couple more questions. I think I've talked to a few poet laureates, and they all have their own definitions. Cool. And I think I'll figure mine out in my tenure. But currently, where I'm at with it is, I just get to be one of 300,000 people who gets to speak for Stockton, and for the next 2 years, I get a platform to do that. And with this platform, I'm excited because I get to also, you know, amplify other people's voices as well. I get to tell the story of Stockton from my perspective, and hopefully from yours and other people within the city. And yeah, so ultimately, I am the poet of Stockton. I did look up a couple of things about a poet laureate, and it comes from, I think Apollo was the patron saint of poetry, and his whole thing was like a laurel wreath, and that's where laureate comes from. And so
awesome.
Yeah, that's a quick Google search though.
No, that's awesome. Yeah, Wes and I both, like, we were just, you know, we've heard the term. I mean, it was a big deal during Right. Wasn't there a big to do about the inauguration this year when the poet, there was a poet laureate. Yeah. And it was a young
Amanda
woman,
Gorman.
Right.
Yeah. Amanda
Gorman. And so I feel like that's the first time I really started hearing it.
She was
and
really
now,
young.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, something like really that.
Young? Yeah. I think she was still in at university at the time of that. And she's the National Youth Poet Laureate.
Oh, that's cool. That's very cool. So yeah, so this is exciting for us. We're kind of like always learning something new about the city. So we did. So how did you, Jasmine, what got you interested in writing poetry?
I would say, you know, I was just an angsty teenager.
I love
writing
it.
Poetry.
That's the last thing I would think about doing as an angsty teenager.
And right. Like when I was sharing with the city council, like I never imagined myself being here. By any means. And I was writing poetry in my room. I grew up with my dad being a musician. My mom also writes poetry.
Cool.
But she was kind of like secret about it. You know, she didn't share it very much. But my dad's been performing my whole life. And so I'm really inspired by music and art in that way. And I was writing a lot of angry poems, a lot of rhymey poems at the time.
Mm-hmm.
When Tama found me at 15 years old, I love to tell this story because it tells you a little bit about who I am. But I was grounded and I wasn't allowed to be at home by myself. And my dad was doing a performance at UOP. And that's where I met Tama. And my dad had told her that I had been doing poetry and I didn't even know he noticed. And Tama said, "Oh, well, I have a set. I'm going to give you 5 minutes at the beginning of the set to get on stage." And I had just met this woman and I'm just like, okay.
And this is like part of your grounding. Like you got dragged to this show.
Yeah. You know, what's a little railroad?
Parents are the worst. Yeah.
Yeah. But it changed my life, you know?
Dang.
It changed my life because that was my first time ever sharing my poetry out loud with anyone. And it was also my first time ever having somebody come up and thank me for something that they've always felt. And that's the part about poetry that I love so much. That when I say like, I just get to be one voice, because there's so many of us that like do feel the same way or in some ways have similar perspectives. And we just get to, you know, I just get to shed light on some of that.
That is a really cool story.
I know, really.
So there's lots of types of poetry. Do you have a favorite kind? Are you known for a kind of poetry?
I'd say I'm definitely known for spoken word poetry. I did try my hand at and put out an ebook back in 2021 of just literary works that live on a page and are meant to live on a page. I have done them in spoken word form, but they don't land as well.
Hmm.
You know, in my perspective, I don't know what anybody else thinks, but yeah, I would say that my main form of poetry is spoken word.
Any haikus in your,
Not off the top of the dome, but
I tell you, that is the hardest one. I look at, I'm just like,
yeah,
wow,
haikus are fun. They're fun to write.
I feel like that's the only, I'm so poetry illiterate that I feel like the haiku is the only thing I know. 575. I remember that from like third grade or whenever.
575.
They teach you that.
You know, ChatGPT can knock out some haikus really quick.
Oh,
it's kind of crazy.
Yeah. ChatGPT is actually a rule in some slams now. Like, do not bring your AI generated poems to the poetry slam.
I know.
Good.
Isn't that cool? Like ChatGPT's only been a big thing for like, what, 6 months? And there's finally some people having some rules about it, right?
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that makes a lot of sense.
Seems kinda like it's too, poetry's too personal to be allowing ChatGPT to come in on
for
that.
Sure.
Well, sweet. So, and I don't know exactly if this organization that you're involved with that I'm going to ask you next about has anything to do with poetry, but I'm transitioning a little bit. Can you tell us a little bit about what Energy is and what that does for the Stockton community?
Yeah, so Energy began in 2017, and we've been doing open mics in the city of Stockton for next month. It'll be 6 years.
Awesome.
And we've been doing monthly open mics. With the exception of the pandemic, we were doing weekly virtual open mics because we really felt like people needed a platform to connect with each other more often than once a month. But yeah, our mission is to you know, foster that connection between artistry and spirituality. And so we incorporate mindfulness meditations at our shows and that sort of thing, and always incorporate some kind of indigenous healing practice at all of our shows as well.
That's awesome. Where are you hosting the events at?
Currently, we are at the Hatch Workshop.
Gotta love it.
Yeah. Love the Hatch. Love the family over there. We've been at Hatch for since 2021.
Okay. Right on. Very cool.
What kind of collaborations have you done, you know, in your time as a poet, like other artists or other poets that you've done collaborations with or worked with, different kind of projects?
Yeah, for sure. There's, one of the most recent collaborations is, I don't know if you all have been able to get a copy, but I will gift one to This Is Stockton.
What is it?
But this is the Center of Attention. It's poems on Stockton and San Joaquin.
And, oh, sweet.
It's published by Tuliberg Press and Paula Scheel over at The Right Place. And it's an anthology of 50 different poets in this book and amazing, amazing work. So that's one of the most recent collaborations. And I've also been a part of an anthology of women, particularly women of color. It's called Yoni Tree. And that's a 3-part series. I've been able to open up for people like Common and Angela Davis, and those are some of my favorite performances. And those are also my favorite performances to tell youth about when they think poetry is lame. And I'm like, well, look where it can get you, you know?
Literally.
Well, yeah. And of course, Brandon did a lot of that for our city. Brandon's been on our podcast. So has Paula.
Brandon's a great friend of mine. Yeah.
But yeah, just the elevation of just the art of spoken word. I mean, to be on a national stage like that, it was so amazing that it also represented our city at the same time. But and I think that's great. The books and the anthologies and even the pop-up performances. I mean, those sort of arts, I feel, kind of died off for a while. And I really think that they've seen a resurgence pre-Brandon. Even obviously, Tama was doing that stuff for the last decade and more, doing spoken word performances. And so, that's really cool. I think those are great things. I can't wait to check out that book. I love poetry about our city and our county and our region.
Yeah, Wes, didn't you do spoken word, or am I making
I did
up?
A long
wait a second.
It was the weirdest thing. There was a guy named Michael C. Ford who used to come to our class. I went to theater in Manteca High, and Dorothy Mulvihill was my teacher, and she's a legendary theater person. And we used to actually do pop-up performances of spoken words at grand openings and different events. And we were all like, what the heck is this? But it was Michael C. Ford actually worked with Kaz Merrick from the Grateful Dead. And they were all kind of these spoken word guys. Wow. And so, yeah, we used to do it quite a bit. I thought it was the weirdest thing, but because, you know, we were all theater people. So we were basically reading almost like reading a script and acting, but standing with the script in front of us. And so, yeah, it goes way back. And so I do definitely have an appreciation for that art. It's
that's really
it's
cool.
Good to see it.
I was in drama too. I was a theater kid as well.
Okay. And is this the tie drama into? Okay. Yeah. I dig it.
I absolutely loved theater. And our my drama teacher over at Chavez, he had us all memorize a spoken word poem from, at the time it was Deaf Poetry Jam, you know, that was on HBO and all of that. That's so awesome. I aligned with that. And I didn't realize at the time I could write my own poems. So it took a while.
You gotta appreciate some, you know, those high school teachers sculpting the minds of the youth, man, because I was an angsty teen as well. I'm surprised I didn't write poetry. I should have been writing haikus this whole time amidst all the eyeliner and that was my there you go.
There was definitely a lot of eyeliner.
Oh my God, I know. Okay, another organization that I do not know anything about this one, but I'm excited to learn. So we're going to talk about The Nature of Her. Can you give us some information about the services and offerings that you guys provide there? What is it and what does it do?
Okay, so a distinction between Energy real quick. Energy is a collective of 5 artists, and we co-create all of those things. And those are my partners over there. The Nature of Her is my own little baby. It's my own LLC business practice where it's kind of an umbrella of where I sell my poetry book, as well as I'm an ordained minister. And so I've got
me
a couple.
Too.
What's up?
Yeah. And, Universal Life Church.
Yes, yes. 10 minutes and you're in. Yep. And so I have a couple weddings under my belt, but I also do, I offer meditation facilitation services. I prefer doing them for groups. All of 2021, I had, you know, a gig where I was doing it three times a week via Zoom for the whole year. And it's something I really enjoy doing, being able to lead people through meditation. And that's also offered under the Nature of Her. So that's kind of my little way of, you know, putting everything in a LLC.
That's awesome. Have you ever done one? I go to the Catalyst. That's where I do my yoga and stuff. Have you ever done a guided meditation at the Catalyst?
I have not, but I do love Tina. I'm sure you go with Tina.
I know Tina.
Yeah, yeah.
I know all the folks. Well, you should do one there sometime. That would be very cool. Do you do any in person still or ever?
Yeah, I do them at with energy all the time.
Cool.
But it's kind of one of the things that have taken a back seat with all of
Seem busy at all, so
so just a little balance kind of.
No,
I've always wanted to get into meditation, but
it's hard.
I see people who like do like transcendental meditation, like
mm-hmm. they're
doing that like 2 hours a day. I'm like, mm-hmm. how are you working this into your schedule? And just trying to, because I have tried it, like there's apps and different things where you can just try to, you know, totally get into yourself and just focus on a singular thing. Mm-hmm. It's tough, but I feel like there's great value in that, in meditation or TM. But I'm jealous of those folks who have actually been able to hone that skill, because I think it is good sometimes just to clear your mind, close things out, and relax.
It's definitely a skill. It's something. And I think for everybody, there's one thing like a go-to, because sometimes, you know, we don't have the time to meditate for an hour, 2 hours a day. I can take, sometimes it's as simple as, you know, 30 seconds to a minute and a half of just a little mindful breathing, letting stuff go and keep it moving.
Yeah,
it's hard, man. That's why I think I think I would excel in a guided meditation, because I think I'd be so nervous that you could tell if I wasn't like clearing my mind that I'd want to like impress the teacher. So it might actually help me do it.
And that's a huge misconception too, is that like you have to clear your mind. The most natural thing about the mind is that it's constantly going. And so it's really counterintuitive, and it's not the easiest place to start. So
yeah,
I normally start with just observing with what you're thinking about. If you're thinking about an elephant somewhere, that's fine. Just notice that that's what you're thinking about.
Okay. And don't beat yourself up about it.
Don't beat yourself up. We'll get to the clear mind later.
Well, I'm going to start meditating right now. Tap me back in when it's my next question. Yeah.
So Jasmarie, what do you do with your ordained minister skills and talents there?
So far, I just... you know, I get a chance to do weddings. I've done two so far, and I'm booked for another one at the end of this year and one more in the spring of next year. The first wedding I ever did, I was very excited because I was able to incorporate some poetry. They know that that's like my style. And
that's
so,
awesome.
You know, being able to write out my entire script, and I love weddings already. And so I was able to like sit down with the bride and the groom, had the bride send me little messages about the groom, and then later on have the groom send me little messages about the bride, and just incorporate that into
a
story.
That's what I was wondering, like if you brought your poetry into that.
Definitely.
That is a cool thing. Like I could definitely see a market for that.
Yeah.
It makes it special.
It makes it so special. And like the wedding video, absolutely beautiful. There wasn't a dry eye in the place.
Yeah, I get that.
Have you ever done one, Wes? I feel like I'm surprised if you've never been asked to officiate a wedding.
No, I'm not ordained, though. My dad was, but he did
it
to get out
minutes.
Of Vietnam.
Yeah, literally 10 minutes. I feel like it's like your friends who are like, who's a funny person we know that knows us both?
And yeah, everybody's like, got their style, you know? Everyone's got their style. You got the funny ministers, you got the poetic
I feel like that's
ones.
A lot of, there's a little bit of pressure to that, too, because I know we have another team member, mm-hmm. well, Anthony, who's on the podcast a lot. He also officiates. Mm-hmm. And we're all theater people, too, so it's...
Yeah, go figure. A lot of big personalities over here. Yeah.
So, Jasmarie, why don't you share with us a little bit about why you think it's important to spread awareness about poetry and the arts in our community?
I love this question. I think that, well, one, I really believe that poetry saved my life. I think that it has the power to heal both individually and community. I think poetry also has the ability to be used as an advocacy tool and to bring education and knowledge on a subject and to look at it in a totally different way, as well as, activism. This last year with, I work with Little Manila Rising, and we had an asthma advocacy day. I work very closely with people living with asthma, and one of our community members went to the Capitol and shared a spoken word poem about them living with asthma in Stockton to all these different legislators. And it was moving. It's way more moving than giving people a bunch of stats, you know? And so I think that it's a major tool to connect with yourself, but also to connect with other people. And literacy rates go up. I was part of With Our Words with Tama Brisbane at 15 and up. And so, you know, she has 100% graduation rate with people, with youth working in poetry. And we weren't all on track to graduate before, you know, getting there. And I think that's a huge deal. I don't think she talks about that enough.
Yeah, I was going to say, I could see why you'd want to be a good student for her. She's serious. She has definitely a serious side about her.
Yeah.
So if someone wants to follow you, find you on social, learn more about all the things that Jasmarie is doing, how do we do that? Where do we find you?
You can find me on Instagram for sure at Elder Jazz. That's where I post the most of my stuff. That or Facebook. I think I ran out of space to add friends, but you can always follow me at Jasmarie Latour on Facebook. I post a lot of reels there. I'm trying to get TikTok off the ground, guys. It's a task and a half.
But, yeah, we know.
But I'm working on the TikTok. But I think that is also at Elder Jazz or something like that.
All right.
Very cool. And where would someone find that book?
Oh, so this book, you're going to want to follow The Right Place on Instagram and find out when it's coming out officially, because this is the first draft of it. It's a very pretty first draft.
Exclusive. You'll have to sign it for us.
Yeah, for sure. And then take it over to Paula and have her sign her page too.
We love our Paula.
Yeah. And so, there's a reprint that just happened. And so that should be coming out. It is exclusive because the official copy is probably coming out in a week or two.
Sweet.
Very cool.
So by the time this podcast is out, it will be out for everyone listening. So
go get your copy of Center of Attention.
That's right. That's right. I thought of a bonus question really quick. How would you recommend someone like myself or anyone else who's listening who does not feel like they have a background in poetry and they want to get into it? How would you recommend someone starts?
I would suggest that you go to YouTube if you're interested in spoken word. That's where you're going to find a lot of spoken word pieces. If you're interested in reading some poetry, I recommend looking at new and upcoming artists.
Cool.
You know, there's a lot of beautiful, like, historical, you know, poetry and stuff. But I think paying homage to the new artists, it's really hard for people to get the word out there about their art. And so supporting up and coming artists is really something close to my heart. So I would suggest that. And you can also follow me. I'll post all of the stuff. I'll post all of the things. And Energy, we have an open mic every last Wednesday of the month at Hatch at 7:00. And I'm also currently working on a collective flyer for all the other open mics in Stockton. So we can have a united front. And we want to create like a roadmap for the artist who's, and I say artist, that can mean like musician, poet, all of the above, to visit different stages and all of that, you know.
Love that.
We put all that stuff on our events calendar on our website. So if you ever want to submit any of your events, I'm not sure if your current Energy event is on there, but if it's not, it will be now. But you can self-submit, or if you just get Krista on our team, the information, she'll make sure, because we're the largest events calendar in the region. We want to make sure that we're diversified in all the love we're giving out there in our community.
Oh, yes. So,
yeah, absolutely.
I will definitely pass that on.
Last but not least, and we ask this question to all of our guests. So, Jasmarie, where is your favorite place in town to take someone who's visiting you? So say you have a friend visiting you from out of town and you're going to go take them around to see Stockton. Where do you like to take them?
I have three places.
Ooh, love it.
I have three places. These are my favorite places in Stockton. Edible Schoolyard in Boggs Track. I don't know if you've ever been there.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful, beautiful little oasis. And the Cambodian Buddhist Temple is my other absolute favorite place in Stockton.
That's cool. I think we haven't heard those from anybody yet. So you're two for three.
Yeah. Yeah. You got a visitor guide in there? Yeah, looking through the
Those are the two places I will just go by myself a couple of times a year.
I love that.
And my final place is definitely a place on everybody's list, and it's Victory Park. Got to take people there.
I think. Little concert in the park?
Yeah, for sure.
Heck yeah.
So.
Lovely answers.
Yeah, that is great. I appreciate that. Well, thank you, Jasmarie, for joining us today. I think I learned a lot, and I hope the audience did too. And hopefully you'll go follow Jasmarie online and on the socials, and also check out that book, because first of all, the cover is beautiful, so I'm sure the inside is amazing. Yes. So, and it also not only supports Jasmarie and the other poets who are in the book, but also The Right Place and Paula Scheel, and we all love her too. So thank you for being here, and we appreciate you.
Thank you so much for having me.
You are so welcome. And for supporting Images and Insights, be sure to follow at This Is Stockton Podcast on Instagram and check out thisisstockton.com to subscribe and share. To stay up to date with everything going on in Stockton, follow at Visit Stockton on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Pinterest, and YouTube. We will talk to you next time.
Bye. Thanks for listening to This Is Stockton, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network, hosted by Wes Ray, Amy Alpers, and Anthony Estes with Visit Stockton, and produced by Relic.